Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
What's up, everybody? Matt Aguilar here, and welcome to Comic Book Nation's The Pull List, where we talk all things comics all the time. I am with our regular, my brother from another Kofi Outlaw.
Hey, what's up, everybody?
And we have welcoming, making their Pull List debut, Tim Adams, one of our best comic book writers at the site. How are you, buddy?
I'm good. Glad to be here.
Absolutely. You know, been wanting to get you on the show for a while. You're always in the comics mix. If you've been paying attention to comics on Comic Book, you have definitely read some of Tim's stuff. So thank you so much for jumping. You had a lot going on, so I appreciate it. Lots to get to, including like the launch of a new universe. So lots to go into there. But let's start with a number one that, you know, is always going to get attention because it's Deadpool. And Deadpool number one is here from Cody Ziegler. This book, I have been evidently sleeping on what has been happening in Deadpool because I read the recap at the beginning, which, by the way, thank you, because that was so handy. I've been like sleeping on this because I didn't know half of this stuff was going on. I didn't know he had a symbiote dog daughter named Princess. I didn't know about the like other daughter. There was a lot of stuff I've been missing. So this was very much a kind of great hopping on point, doing what, you know, Deadpool does. But I think the additions of Princess, and also there's a, you know, a backup story, not even a backup story, but kind of an epilogue at the end of, you know, what's happening with his other daughter and all that family stuff. And like even his internal monologues throughout the issue kind of brought a level of investment that I haven't had in the character for like a really long time. You know, the character is what the character is, right? Fun, bombastic. I've loved other runs, but like this was kind of getting into some stuff that we don't typically see from the character. You know, Tim, as the guest on the show here, what did you think of the issue overall?
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I liked the dynamic between Deadpool and Princess. Just like you, I didn't realize that the symbiote that had busted through his chest in the previous run had turned into a symbiote dog and had been given a name and is now part of the Deadpool crew now. So that was enjoyable. And yes, just seeing Deadpool sort of dive into his work and trying to forget his sorrows along with the bloodshed and maiming that goes on, as we can see in the preview pages are up on the screen right now for the video watchers, was cool. The new villain Death's Grip showed up. I actually got to talk to Cody Ziegler before the book came out, and nice. So he gave talked a little bit about Death's Grip and sort of the mystical nature behind him, and, you know, just teased how he was going to be a foil for Deadpool during this run. So that's cool. And then we see the seeds for the return of Deadpool running a sort of a mercenary crew. So that's going to be interesting to follow.
Yeah, perfect timing also with a certain Deadpool movie coming up, right? I mean, look, you know, this stuff is not done in a vacuum. But Kofi, what did you think of this? Were you more up to date on Deadpool than I was?
Hell no. I was like, man, Deadpool has gotten weird when I opened it up. I had no idea that he had a symbiote in the chest. I don't want to bring down the Pull List in any kind of way, but I think Deadpool is a character who's always worked for me better on the screen or as a supporting character in a book than it is trying to. It can be a lot to swallow to try to do an entire Deadpool issue, let alone a story arc, because you know, the Deadpool shtick can get overwhelming in Reed. It's like Bizarro or the Demon or anything. It's like, after a while, my brain gets a little bit, you know, it gets overwhelmed sometimes with it, with the Deadpool-ness of it all, when I'm trying to read all this. But so I was like, yeah, it's weird, but they've carved out this kind of synthesis. You can see, like, you know, you can definitely see where the Deadpool movies have kind of come back and affected these comics. Building Wade, I mean, I think Deadpool 2 changed a lot of things in terms of, like, Ryan Reynolds and them giving, making sure that Wade is grounded with, like, some kind of actually touching emotional beats in, like, human beat. That movie weirdly makes me tear up most of the time when I watch it because of, like, the emotional beats in it. And I'm like, this is a Deadpool movie. What is happening? But they've carried that, some of that, into this comic. And so it's a good enough premise. We talk about first issues a lot. And this is as kind of kooky and off the wall and violent while funny and with a little bit of heart that you would expect from Deadpool. And I think this is a good place for anybody who's watched those movies to jump in and still be like, okay, what's happening? This is very comic booky, but this is the Deadpool like I kind of know. So it was kind of a mixed bag, because I skimmed through it just to see, you know, if there was any big reveals, because, you know, Deadpool, when we, you know, us cynical people comic book, we got to make sure there's nothing big with Deadpool that we can make a head. But then I went back and actually read it, and was like, it was an enjoyable read for somebody who doesn't necessarily always care for Deadpool on the page.
Yeah, no, I agree wholeheartedly with you. I'm, you know, not always the, like, it's hard for me to stick with a Deadpool book, though. The ones that really land with me are, you know, I really enjoy them, right? Like, I loved Gail Simone's run on Deadpool. And they always slept on Agent X. I will forever harp on that book because I adore that book. But then, like, Kelly Thompson's run with the Monster Island style, I thought that was great. So I tend to like a little bit of bat insane type of things, especially other characters, like the Monster Island stuff. He had so many other interesting characters to bounce off of that it was fun and kept that other, the fourth wall shtick from just being like a one trick pony. And here I like what they're doing so far, because yes, we have all that stuff, but the family dynamic stuff and actually having a pensive and reflective Wade is super odd, but that's why I dug it. So yeah, I enjoyed this as a first issue. I think this is like a great hopping on point, and I did not see that coming.
Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid, no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Let's move into a book, though, that me and Kofi kind of gushed about when it debuted, because it kind of, for us, came out of nowhere a little bit. The Last Mermaid was one of those, like, debuts you just don't see coming. And then, like, man, my God, like, what a beautiful book. And the issue, too, it left on a great cliffhanger. So issue 2, thankfully, kind of gets right to it. You know, we don't get like some, hey, we're going to get back to that in a second type thing. And I, again, like, there's, you know, the dialogue that's here is, impactful, and it's not, you know, overly cluttered. It leaves a lot of room to just look at the just gobsmacking visuals. I'm invested as much, you know. Lottie is like, oh my god, like, don't hurt Lottie. I'm very like, I'm already connected to these two characters. Like, I need them not to be hurt in any kind of way. The tension kind of slowly builds, and there's a great reveal kind of towards the end, setting up a big hook for next issue. So I mean, there's no notes on this. I am still in on this. Kofi, how did you feel about the book?
Yeah, this is my favorite debut so far of the year. Like, nobody's touching this book. It's like, this book is to comics what like Shogun is to TV right now. And I don't mean just because they're both Eastern influence. Let's just be clear what I'm saying here.
Right.
It's just that people are telling stories on a different level, and the creative production we're getting is on a different level. Like you said, this can be, I mean, you could have words in this and you don't necessarily need to, like a good Denny Villeneuve movie. You don't necessarily need the dialogue. There's so much done visually here that it's impeccable, and it all is kind of edge of your seat, either with curiosity or concern about what's going on at every single second. There's not a panel, oh, that's wasted. There's not a beat that's wasted. And it's just so simple, but hints at so much more complexity. And so, like you said, you're concerned about the mermaid, you're concerned about Lottie, and you're concerned about even the mech suit that, you know, that making sure that it even sustains. Because when it was sinking to the bottom of a lake in this, I was like, what about the suit? You know, like, you gotta still take care of your mech suit. But there's so many questions raised about how did we get here? What happened to this world? How is it that we're tracking these like water sources and these other things? Now we have even bigger questions about what's going on and what's living down in this water and like what the environment even is of this world. We've literally built out like a couple strips of land so far. So This is just next level storytelling, and there's very little that's kind of touching this, from the artwork to the way the story is being executed to just creating a new character and potential brand. Cause there's, you could, this world can grow into so many things from here.
Easy.
And so,
oh my God.
Yeah. And already the artwork for the next one, the cover already has an image that's like, okay, where are we going now? Like, let's go. Like, I gotta know who this is. Who is this ninja looking mofo? Like, I'm already like, yeah. So nothing's touching this. This is my favorite new comic series so far this year.
Tim, what did you think of the first issue, number one, and then also going into this? Have you been keeping up with the series?
So I was not familiar with this. I got the assignment before the show, so I made sure to at least read the second issue that came out this week. And yes, it is definitely a beautiful book. I originally thought that it was just going to be sort of like a silent issue, and until we finally got a couple words near the, I guess, middle to back half of the comic, which was fine because the words and the space they used it perfectly. I was just enjoying looking at the art, the colors, this world that, like Kofi described, is, it pulls you in and has you curious to find out more about it. Lottie and the mermaid, seeing their interaction and bond was cute, and the mech suit, you're watching them repair it and getting it back functional, working again, was great to see. The surprise at the end leaves you curious again to see what's going to happen in the next issue. And this is definitely a book I'll probably start checking out every week now, or every month, as often as it comes out.
Yeah, no, it's one of those things too. I've never been more, there are few books that like I immediately go and check out the like, I don't know what you would call it, I guess, like technically after the credits, right? Because it's like notes and letters, typically where the letters page is. And here, yeah, like here they haven't had a chance to print letters yet because this one was already sent off to print before they could actually get the letters from the first issue. But like the first issue, if you went and read those, it was just like this amazing kind of story of like how this thing actually came about, the you know, this like 10-year journey for this to actually become the book it is now and the seeds of an idea. And here, you know, we don't get that, but we get like this, hey, I was creating the Havoc suit, which is what the mech suit is called, and like here's all the different renditions I went through and here's how it came to this. And it's so cool. Sorry, my cat is just deciding to be such a goober now.
Knocking things over.
He's like literally trying to attack my desk. I love that stuff, and it actually, you know, further invests you into the world. So like, it's just, I can't say enough about this book. Sorry, I just shoved him off.
Where's your spray bottle?
I got tired of his mess. I'm like, get off my table.
You don't have your water spray bottle?
What is going on right now? He's attacking me.
All right.
I need a spray bottle. Yeah. So anyway, in this case, I just love everything about this book. And it's just one of those things too. Like we obviously talk a lot about the big two, and rightfully so. There's a lot of great books coming out about it, but this is one of those examples of like, you can kind of miss a gem. And this is easily in my thoughts of like, it's going to take a lot to beat this as my best new series of the year. And we're going to get to, in a minute here, there's a lot of new series coming and there's a lot of great stuff out there. So that's not a small statement.
Before we move on, I just want to say, we didn't touch on it, but you know, yeah, this issue also dropped. I like the way they're just dropping brush strokes of story. We find out in this one, our mermaid character is a little bit more fearsome than we thought. And
yes,
and the way
with
they
the camo
and
the, yeah.
Yeah, and just like all of that. And it's just like so many questions about just this version of a mermaid and just how you could tell like when something's been so ruminated on and every detail is thought on. Just there's a point in this where there's a mystery and she solves it by just using her tail and a little physics and stuff. And it's just like, yeah, that's mermaid stuff right there. So yeah, they're doing a fantastic job. And might I just say, if anybody at Image Comics is listening, take care of this series, please. Take good care of it.
Yes, please.
Please.
Don't break it. Please. Don't break it. Yeah, I think that's perfectly said. And you even mentioned it before, real quick, before we move on. You mentioned it before how, like, they build out a world. And this is relatively small stretch of land we built out. But now that we're, like, entering the underwater caverns and stuff, they do such a great job of the, like, she says a line and it's, like, can be easily regarded as like a throwaway lore line, right? But she's like, you know, oh, I'm surprised the mutants haven't overtaken this yet. And so then you're like, your brain starts going, yeah, like, oh, okay, so there are other, where are the underwater cities that the mutants have taken over, and I want to see those, and what's the society, all that from one line, you know what I mean? So that's, it's impressive what this book is doing. All right, so let's move into, there was another big universe, a couple of, I think it was probably a month ago. We covered the Ghost Machine, big kind of launch issue, which was essentially like a bunch of prelude style stories to, hey, here's all our ongoing books. Here's a bunch of characters. The story kind of connected here and there. And here's a taste of the universe that's coming. And so this week, three of those books are rolling out. And we're going to get into Rook, Exodus, which is kind of the space side, and then we'll get into Redcoat as well. For Rook Exodus, Tim, I know you handled the review on this. You know, what do you think of kind of the like Ghost Machine idea overall? And then also, what did you think of this? Because I have some thoughts too.
I'm always a fan of seeing big time creators branching off and doing their own thing. Of course, we always enjoy reading their stories and watching their art on big two books, but when they sort of come together to try to start their own thing, it always gets my eyebrows raised and I'm always curious to see how it's going to turn out. So Rook Exodus, definitely Jason Fabok, one of the premier artists working today in comics, and he sort of works so infrequently that just seeing him in a monthly book again, it's like, oh, okay, I need to keep an eye on this and check it out. So a lot of beautiful pages in Rook, seeing the background of this planet and how it's been deserted and how him along with these other wardens are sort of living there, working together, trying to find their way off the planet. I'm curious about finding out or learning new wardens, who else is still left on Exodus, more the background and Rook's past on Earth before he left and got on Exodus. We see a little bit of that here. So definitely a lot to like and to look forward to seeing as it keeps going.
Yeah, you weren't kidding, man. Jason's work is just gorgeous on this. There are some sequences, and you know, it leans into, right, this is a harsh place, so to get an artist that can tackle those kind of bigger, brutal scenes, there's one towards the end that is, you know, especially you know, lethal in ways, and the characters make an impact. But it's also like they're doing a lot here, right? Because Exodus is the name of the planet that they're stuck on, and it's this whole like idea of this planet that essentially we sought out to make another Earth, and so we had the tech to do that and essentially take control of the animals living on the planet to like essentially help us build things up and do what we wanted and, you know, progress agriculture, all those kinds of things. But now it was kind of like we used it up to a degree, you know, and so they left, but then there's still people left on this planet as that tech that allowed you to control ravens or control, you know, boars and things like that is fading. And so now we've got these people who are wardens. It's a really interesting idea. And a couple really interesting ideas around the characters themselves and around the world. And so I found myself like very much, you know, I wasn't as intrigued necessarily by stepping, because there's some stuff here where we kind of get flashbacks. And I wasn't like as interested in that because like I don't necessarily, I think they did a good job of summarizing how we got here. So I don't necessarily need to see how that played out. But for, you know, the where we are now in the present, I think this book made a big statement. You know, Jeff Johns is obviously writing this one, Brad Anderson coloring and Rob Lee lettering. So, I mean, there's some big talent involved in this. You know, the same goes, Kofi, did you have a chance to read the Ghost Machine books before I move on? I didn't want to leave you out. I didn't think so, but I just wanted to make sure.
Nah, I got too much to do, Bill. Okay.
Okay, no worries. I just didn't want to leave you out. The other one for me, the one I was looking forward to most when that initial, you know, zero issue, I believe it was, debuted, was Redcoat. Because I'm a sucker for history. I love like that like anything to do with, you know, like the Paul Revere and like all that stuff that this story is very much centered in, George Washington, all that stuff, right? Is like right up my alley. So I was very curious to see what they would do with this. By the way, these books are like long. These were like, Exodus was like 50 something pages, 60, but like some of that's like after stuff, you know, but like 50 something pages, and Redcoat was like 50 something pages. So you get a lot here. Redcoat does an amazing job of setting you, like letting you get to know Simon Pure, which is the lead character here. Essentially, he is a former Redcoat. And then pretty early on, it is established, I won't spoil how, because I think it's humorous, but how he essentially gets to kind of keep living life. And the way, then you're just following him throughout his misadventures and meeting people. And like, he meets some people later on in this book that I'm like, huh? Like that's he throws some curveballs at you. I love when people play with history. I'm a huge fan of like the Assassin's Creed games. So the fact that like, you know, Leonardo da Vinci was your armorer always made me smile. Like there's stuff like that that I love. And this book plays directly with that. And then also taps into like, okay, when the, you know, like the colonists and stuff and Native American culture and things like that, all that, you know, when that collision happened, the idea of some of the more playing with some of the more mystical elements and then dabbing into powers and magic and that stuff and adding that in the supernatural stuff is also fun for me. So I really dug this. I'm going to stick with this because I was probably going to stick with it anyway. But now after reading the first issue, like I'm very much hooked. Tim, did you have a chance to check this one out or no?
I did not get a chance for Redcoat. I did look at Geiger because I did read the Ghost Machine number one shot that came out however many months ago. Geiger is cool. If I were to like compare, I'd probably like Rook more than Geiger, just because the Geiger story seems sort of, I don't want to call it basic, but it's like, hey, here's a, you know, radioactive man patrolling this, you know, wasteland, and he meets a couple of interesting characters along the way. The world of Exodus, which doesn't take place in this unnamed universe, it's sort of separate. Like Geiger and Redcoat are in that unnamed universe with some other characters that we're going to meet in some future Ghost Machine books, but like Rook is off on its own. And I just liked that setup a little bit more than Geiger. But I will say Geiger, again, is a still an interesting premise with this war that broke out. And we haven't found out what caused this war. But it may be a case of, like you said with Rook, where what happened in the past isn't as important as what's happening now and this future present that the story takes place in.
Yeah, it's the one I didn't get to read. I am interested to read it because he was also kind of the linchpin of the prelude book, right? Kind of tying everything together. So I am interested in that. I just love that it's like, it's like, oh man, you know, we've all seen this radioactive man story like time and time again. Come on, basic. This is...
he gets sort of like a sidekick in this issue, I guess, who also appeared in the one shot. So getting the sidekick, like Knight character, at least made Geiger more interesting because he's aside from just the glowing green body and powers, there isn't too much to him, and he's sort of stoic and doesn't really speak much. So having this quirky guy alongside him at least made things more appealing.
Now, Kofi, what is not stoic and never is Birds of Prey as a series we've been loving. What did you think of 8? Because we get a new member of the team kind of jumping in the mix in Vixen. What did you think about this one?
Kelly Thompson is still executing at a high level with this next story arc. I love how this first story arc flowed into the second one kind of seamlessly, and it's all centered around Batgirl. And this issue was everything I love about this series. It was weird. It was kind of retro, but modern. And the team dynamics, again, make some of these characters stand out more than ever. Like Barda just runs away with like every issue of this series. And in this one, there's just a hilarious joke about a fight and her misunderstandings, and just everything is working. And the female camaraderie at the bottom of this and their bond is what centers this book. And at the end of this issue, there's just a scene that is, again, like it switches from zany and irreverent to like very powerful, almost like Deadpool, which is, you know, showing how strong their bond is, that they'll literally walk into the unknown for each other and all of that. And, you know, that line with Black Canary at the end got me. And she's like, you know, I command none of you to follow me. And then that image afterwards, I was like, man, these ladies are about to get it in. All right. So, yeah, this was one of our favorite books, Comic Book Nation, Golden Issues. So you should be checking it out.
Very much so. I know we got to bounce here very quickly. Kofi, can you take us through Batman and X-Men if you have a chance?
Sure. Batman 146 is his prison break issue, where Batman's trying to get out of a jail that he put himself in. And if you want to unpack all that, read more of Chip Zdarsky's run on Batman, and we can get into that. But this was an interesting kind of peace-moving issue where we learn it's a combination of things. We see kind of present action moving forward. Bruce Wayne gets to a place that I'm interested to see him kind of go Iron Man 3 on us and do that whole nine. I'm more interested in seeing this Batman Zur fail-safe thing and the dynamics of it's an interesting turn, and Chip always has interesting turns where instead of going at everybody in Batman's world, he's actually slowly replacing him and kind of supplanting him and convincing people to accept this, which is really interesting. It's the kind of psychological game from characters like Superman and the Justice League to Damian to all these things of, and it doesn't say good things about Bruce that people can confuse him for a maniacal / cyborg robot and not tell the difference. And so, like, again, continues to be this kind of sly commentary on Bruce Wayne and Batman and our understanding of him. So very interesting and reveals things about Joker's role in all of this. That is very interesting to see. X-Men is kind of still doing the fall of Krakoa, which is a messy, messy event with a lot of pieces. But this was an interesting bottle issue telling us about a character who most of you probably forgot about, Dr. Killian Devo, the head of Orcus, because there's a lot of evil Orcus people to remember, but you probably forgot about this one. I did. But it has Dr. Doom's Latverian and X-Men, which, you know, right up there with the Arako mutants are some of the best things to come out of this whole Krakoa era. It's just, and seeing them get to shine in this issue is great. So it's a simple X-Men versus villain fight. And we get some new, we get to see some of the newer characters shine. So at least this is a fun part of Fall of X. Can't say that always. And that's my catch up with everything.
Nice. Red Sonja, Empire of the Damned, is a issue, I think, for me. I'm a fan of the character and the franchise. I think this is very much like a back to getting back to what works with the character, core adventuring vibe, and I really dug it. So that's a brand new number one. You can hop on there. We got more comics, but we gotta go. We gotta bounce. We got stuff to do. Our video team is super busy. So until next week, enjoy some comics. Go to the comic store. Let us know what you loved. And come right back here next week to talk more. Peace out.